Hello, Rob.
Hey, Chris, how are
I'm doing well.
you?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was your trip?
It was wonderful. It
Aww.
was really a fun trip. We're very lucky, as you know. But you do, you know, I told, I said to somebody, I said, you know, that we're so lucky, we're blessed to be able to do a trip of a lifetime every other year, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a good one. We stayed in, there's a guy named Dennis Tinsley. He and his wife Susie donate this lot, they call it the Lime Kilner House. They donate it every year to the auction, to a couple different auctions. One of them is for the clinics on the island, and the other one is for the women's club for scholarships
Oh,
for
wow.
local high
So they
school kids.
live on the island, Rob, then?
So they live, he's from Ireland originally, and he ran McKinsey's operation for Europe. So he's a
Smart guy.
smart guy. So he was in, so he has a home in County Mayo, which is Western Ireland, up in the northwest. And he has a home in London, and he has a beautiful home on Shore Lane in Boca Grande. And so
Wow.
I wasn't part of the group that bought the original, made a bid on the original lease, but the Baileys dropped out, and so they asked us to join them, and so we arranged the trip and joined them for a week. I think it was 5 days at the Lime Kilner House, and in between and after, we stayed in these refurbished castles that are part of, you know, some Americans own them. One Irish character owns one. He's making it into the Augusta of Ireland. And so they're wonderful places. It makes so we, you know, it's interesting because we meet people and they've stayed in all the same places. You know, it's like there's four famous castles that you stay in when you travel the island, travel the Emerald Isles. So it's a gorgeous trip, and one that you all should do sometime. We all have Irish heritage somewhere, and
Right.
it's fun to explore it. And the people are two places where people are genuinely sweet and laid back, and that's Italy and Ireland. They're unique. Yeah, the Irish are uniquely, you know, sort of always on island time, not too worried about things. And same with the Italians. You know, it doesn't make for great businessmen, but it makes for great people to visit, because they're just, all they want to do is talk and tell, you know, and be funny and have a great time. So it's a delightful place to visit.
Go to London and get the business done, and then go to Italy and Ireland and enjoy the rest of the time.
It's kind of the way Europeans do it. You know, the Swiss and the Germans don't have much regard for the business acumen of Italians or Irish, but they love to visit their countries. So, anyway, so we got to, they, Dennis is on a board with me. I'm on the foundation board for the Island School. I'm actually the head of the committee. And I might give you their portfolio to have you look it over and tell me what you think.
That'd be great.
Yeah. They, it's managed by Northern Trust, And the guy used to work actually for Merrill, so he's a nice guy. It's not the most creative portfolio I've ever seen, but it's also one that probably won't get us in much trouble. But he and I were appointed this year, and they wanted me to immediately become, you know, chairman of the finance committee, and I hadn't even been on a month, you know. So I did accept it. But there's a lot of very, very wealthy and powerful people on this committee, as well as on the board, so it's something we can't screw up. So I do have to spend some time on it, and I would like your input. But anyway, I got to know Dennis, and I mean, it's the depth and the wealth is amazing. He owns the kind of the whole peninsula. It's like going back in time. He has 8 people that work full time on this property. He's got a full time cook. He's got 2 gardeners plus a supervisor. He's got at least 1 or 2 housekeepers. It's just unbelievable.
Real life Downton Abbey.
It is. Yeah.
Is it self-sufficient? Does the tourism pay for it? Is it more of a thing you have to support financially?
Oh, him? Oh, yeah. It's not a big house. I mean, it's big. But I mean, it's kind of like he's got a party house. It's a beautiful room that he keeps ready to go at any time for parties. It has, he's got a she shed that he built for his wife, which is, he didn't call it that. He loved the name. I told him it was a she shed. She's an artist. Yeah, she's an artist, so she paints. And, it's just, the whole place is crazy. He's got a guest house on the on his property. But, this was something that his neighbor was going to build 2 houses on this property, and he didn't want that to happen, so he bought the property and built 1 guest house. And the guest house it's a wonderful house. It's 5 bedrooms, beautiful kitchen, fireplaces everywhere. You know, it's just idyllic. Kind of crazy living, overlooking gorgeous bay.
This is the guest house?
This is the guest house. Yeah.
Nice.
It would be anybody else's first house and only house.
Yeah.
And it has a huge barn next to it where he probably has 12 sets of golf clubs. In case anybody wants to play, and he had a whole stack of rain outfits just in case somebody needed. So anyway, so we played golf with him and just got to, because he said, I'll be there, you know, but I'll have guests the whole time. He had guests. He had the Prime Minister's wife there, of Ireland. So, I mean, he had guests all the time. Every time we were there, there were guests, other guests.
Wow.
But he has a cook and a housekeeper, and so it doesn't bother him. You know, he doesn't have to think about it. He can just plug him in.
Yeah.
Well, Marcia and I, we go crazy, you know, try to keep track of it. But he's about 10 years younger than I am. So he's still working. He owns 4 companies that I know of. And, not in the publishing industry, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting to be profitable in the publishing industry today.
I know. I saw United Rental bought a private equity $2 billion deal today. Stock was up like 6 or 7.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be accretive. It looked like a smart move. And it's figuring more consolidation in the industry, which is good. Good for pricing.
Yeah, it's a good, It's selling at like 8x earnings still, so.
Yeah, it's one of the only stocks that shows up on multiple Merrill Lynch lists that they put out. That's the growth. They have a growth 10 and a value 10. As far as their 10 picks, and it's on both of them. It's on the growth and the value stream, yeah. Really interesting.
You should probably add to it when you get it. If it came down, right?
Right, yeah. Back around 150 where it has been. It's a decent bargain, I think, at any rate. But it may take a while just to show sustainability in the economy. There's all the fear of the late cycle that we're in the ninth inning of the recovery.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is too bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's, yeah, so it was it's just a magical place, you know. It never rains. They have Irish mist there.
So it's on the southwest coast or what area?
This is the northwest coast.
Northwest.
So it's a rainier part of the island, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's just magnificent coastline.
And that's just the value of, those are the type of people you meet in Boca Grande.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I thought he was full of bull because when I first met him, because he's a little bit affected, as you can imagine, but his accent's real, you know, and he's the real deal. It's like you're not used to meeting the real deal. You know, you get a lot of people that pretend they're the real deal. But he's here. And he couldn't have been a nicer host. He took us out on his boat, you know, had us for cocktails. We joined his yacht club.
Wow.
He's got a yacht club there that he started for charity. It's got 120 members, and it's, you know, it's all these people that visit that buy his place on an auction and visit from Boca Grande and other places. And so they're all members of his yacht club. He said, you know, we have a cocktail party at the New York Yacht Club every year for those people that are members, and we raise money for charity, and it's just a sweet thing. He does sweet things. He's very committed to Ireland. I mean, he's really committed to, helping the people and providing jobs. And he really is quite a good guy. So,
it sounds like one of those trips. It's like the old Merrill trips where you would do things that you couldn't normally do. You can't go as a tourist and experience something that you put on a Merrill Recognition Club trip in the late 90s, and this is the same type of deal. You have to know someone very special to have the experience that you just had.
Yeah, it was, and we played at his country club, his little, cute little country club on the ocean, and it was, it was great. It was just beautiful. So, he's not always there, obviously, but we met his daughter and his son, and they're, really, really successful and confident, nice kids, really. Both, just one just graduated, one. They're both, interestingly, going to work for startups.
So, where?
Quite bright. And one is going to be in London, and I think they're both in London.
London.
Yeah. So, it'll be fun, because he's a pretty good golfer. Not great, about a 17, but he's a really good guy. Really good guy.
Nice.
So, that was kind of the highlight. We went to the Riverdance show. That was fabulous when we were in Dublin.
Nice.
And took a lot of pictures, so I'll send you guys, the highlight pictures. Yeah.
That'd be great.
That's a great, it'd be a fabulous family vacation anytime, anywhere, or couples vacation, we were with our really dear friends from Atlanta who, this was their 28th anniversary. They were celebrating at one of these castles in it just couldn't have gone better. It's a great story for service. They just were, you know, you walk in this castle and you think it's going to be stuffy, and they meet you and greet you and treat you like you're part of the family and take you to a fabulous table where you have a wonderful dinner, and they are joking with you and teaching you about the wines and telling you stories. And then, you know, they couldn't, the gal at the desk didn't know the room, because they had the name for the room, not a number. And Robert, the maitre d', came over and said, "Oh, I know that room. That's room 236. That's the honeymoon suite." So they took us in and showed us around and made us feel like we were the only people in the whole castle. So, extraordinary experience. Just totally extraordinary. And you feel like, you know, when we go back, we have to go see Robert again. You know? He'd been there, I think, 39 years or something.
What an experience. Yeah. Was that your first time there, or you all been there before?
No, I went with the guys. I went with a little group of managers 30 years ago. Huh. So I went with Pat, well, you know, that's the group, Alan, Pat Walls and Ellen, and you know, a bunch of guys, 12 guys I think, and we played golf every day for a week, twice a day, and did the Ring of Kerry and all the famous golf courses. But this was so much more fun. This is the way to do it. You take the bride and enjoy the food, which is not at all what I was expecting. It used to be France had the only good, you know, France and Italy had the only good food in Europe. And now, of course, London has fabulous food, and England. And, but the food in Ireland, everywhere we went, was spectacular. Hmm. So they've learned. They're very smart. They've learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just create a terrific experience. Not cheap, you know, but then again, you know, we had, Rick said, "Did you get driven around?" I said, "Yeah, we had brand new Mercedes everywhere we went. It was beautiful." It was lovely, you know. The guys were great drivers. They were entertaining. It's the way to go. I like to drive, but in this case, it's much better to let them drive you around and tell you stories and teach you all about the history and the islands, and rather than,
yeah, you can see much more when you're riding.
Yeah, I mean you're fighting with your navigator half the time, you know, to where we're supposed to go. You're on the wrong side of the road, so
it is in England. It's the opposite side, the steering wheel on the other side too.
Yeah, he said he met a couple that rented a car, and the first roundabout they went on, they got into a head on and were. He broke her. He broke his arm, and she shattered her elbow, and da 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 da. And that. So, is it worth it?
No, for
a few bucks, you know.
I learned that lesson in Bermuda, just riding a scooter around, and just out of an electric scooter, and just out of habit, you end up on the other side of the road, headed toward a car. Just
you can hurt yourself.
It's hard to break that habit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I was. I was in Bermuda for my active duty a couple of years. And so I'd rent a scooter to take me to work every day. And, I got pretty good at it, but it takes a while. So, give me progress on your company and what you'd like to hear from me and what's on your mind today?
I think the team is like the analogy of the duck, where you see what's happening above the water, but under the water for the team in the last 3 weeks has been a lot going on, a lot of action with the feet flapping under the water with the bulk transfer to the new office. And so Sherry and Kim they've done commendable work. They basically carried the load with us. And we're still getting through it. So the accounts moved over late last week. And then every day there's something on the checklist of a major item they need to take care of. So they're checking those off. But it seems what has really carried us has been the routine of the scheduled calls. The temptation in a time like that is to get off on our own and lose track of the clients don't even need to know this, don't want to know this. We tell you this because you're our coach and you know the internal workings of Merrill, how a bulk transfer can go. But I think we've effectively pulled it off without clients really knowing there's an issue with everything going on behind the scenes. And I think a lot of that is the routine and the structure of Supernova, of having to schedule client calls that at least keep us on track with the client priorities. We thank Kim and Sherry all the time for what they've done of carrying us through this time.
Yeah, it's a big job. I saw all the movement. I was looking for activity, you know, and I checked my activity on there on my, and I saw all these movements. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
So you think we're over the major steps, I believe. Is that right, Kim?
We are. It's been a lot of work, and Trent's right. I mean, at least, you know, having our calendar set has kept us, you know, on focus with that while dealing with all these other issues. And it's amazing how such a big process at Merrill Lynch, you know, there was, you know, kind of guidelines, but they were not complete by any means. And we've just run into one issue after another, and it's been very frustrating, and management's frustrated as well, but we'll make it through like we always do, you know. But, yeah. You know, and Rob, you probably were very instrumental in this, but, you know, to keep pushing and knowing when you think something's wrong, to, you know, ask the questions and not to, you know, just take their word for it, you know, that something's being done or sounds, you know, correct, is, you know, take the next step. So,
And again, learning that lesson that no one cares about our clients as much as we do.
Yeah.
We've really become very intentionally self-encapsulated or self-sufficient in the last 10 years of having that extra fully paid full-time person that can help us out as far as the extras like this. And it definitely shows the value of the team of being pretty much self-sufficient. And Kim actually, if she had not asked a question the day before something went through, something could have gone really wrong. So she actually caught something where it circumvented what could have been a lot more work by Kim staying engaged and staying involved, asking questions, pushing management. It's gone as well.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. I mean, you just know that nobody, you know, you hate to say it, but it's true. Nobody really cares. They care, but they don't. And you've got to be, you're the only ones. I mean, that's why the system works. Capitalism works. Can you imagine if you were on salary doing this? Just think about it.
I mean, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, if we didn't have as much writing on it.
I mean, just think about it. If you were on salary making, you know, decent wage, and this happened, it would take twice as long and go half as well, you know. And it's typical of, you know, capitalism versus socialism.
Yeah, it's a real ownership mindset that you have in our business. We really own it. From the client's point of view, it doesn't matter whose fault it is, we're responsible for it. It's our ultimate responsibility. We can't blame it on management.
It's very important to periodically remind management of that.
Because
they tend, you know, the people that are working with them tend to be the government. And
that's bureaucracy that's built up.
Yeah, and they just accept things as they are. We're trying to get, you know, a couple things approved through other companies' compliance departments for our book. And, you know, the first thing is, no, you know, we're not going to just because you had it approved before doesn't mean it's going to get approved now. You know, so it's kind of crazy. And because there's no, in the compliance department, there's each government. There's no incentive. It's in their mind. There's no incentive to do business. You know, everything they do is a potential lawsuit.
Yeah, it's all risk management for them.
It's all risk management. And why would I ever approve this? You know, where's the money in it? I don't understand. What's it going to do for us? Well, it's marketing for your people. You don't understand. They don't have to go out and sell a book. They don't have to write a book. They can be published with 35,000 people reading about them, which is leverage, which is, you know.
Instant credibility.
And so you really have to explain that to people when you're doing something like this. When you're going through a bulk transfer, you go, you understand that these people really don't want to hear about our problems? Right? They don't care. They just want things working smoothly, and if things don't work smoothly, they're going to be upset at us, not you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And I guess there's a good thing from client's standpoint that it's structurally it's a better organization than a trust department. For someone's on salary and they don't really care, we really do care. It's a big deal to us.
Right.
How it goes with each individual account of the 170 households that we have. It's interesting, though, in the midst of that, I'd say the theme we've had in the last month has been major engagement. That Kim's built a very good longstanding relationship with someone who used to be the controller or finance operator, finance person at one of our major clients. So we've got an RFP we're working on for about a $15 million opportunity.
Right.
We've got a client who's referred another $16 million opportunity of someone we've met with twice now, and they're considering moving in later this year. We've had several meetings.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And then we've had meetings. We probably mentioned this on our previous calls, but we've had just in the past 2 weeks another meeting with a major client where we're basically driving the process with the attorney involved doing very high-stakes planning for families of really driving what the attorney's doing in a lot of cases. And then like going to a hospital with the guy who manages the money, the client, and he had a heart episode about a month ago, and he's not doing well. Oh. And we are, when I went to visit his wife in the hospital, and I was the second one that she told of his condition, and she's asking my advice on what does she tell her kids. And this is beyond financial planning. It's a very deep level engagement we've been having in the past month, especially with a lot of our clients.
It's really important. I mean, I think in the news, you know, Aretha Franklin, another one, you know, Prince, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson, who else? God knows. These people had advisors, you know. They had high-paid advisors. And then I just saw, you know, there's a $77 million lawsuit by, who is the basketball player? Grant? We saw him down. He played for Atlanta.
Oh, Grant Hill.
Anyway, Grant Hill.
Yeah,
and
he was in Orlando when we were down there a couple of times.
Yeah. He lost $77 million.
Wow.
To a financial advisor at an independent company.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't see that.
Yeah. It was fraud. Okay. And he's suing right now the CPA firm that referred him. Why we refer three people instead of one, right? But why anyone in their right mind would do business with an independent firm when all you have to do is pick up the phone and say, I suspect fraud from Kim Fogg and Merrill Lynch makes you whole. I mean, come on. Why would you ever in your right mind take that kind of risk? It never happens with the big firms.
Yeah. Yeah, we just write the check.
So I think, guys, I mean, not that that's a a big, you know, you don't want to go out and market that, but I certainly would have it in the back of my mind when you're up against an independent. Okay? And I don't care who they are.
And that's go ahead.
I mean, why take that risk as an investor? Are you insane?
That's one of the advantages on the RFP that Tim's working on is our trust area and being full fiduciary.
Yeah.
From the institutional level, they really value that. And we don't know who exactly are the other four involved, but we know at least one of them can't offer that. Some kind of fiduciary responsibility.
Well, there's never been a Merrill Lynch on American Greed, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
We had a guy from India, the guy that flew his airplane into the ocean or
into a flight. Right. But, you know, that, you know, I might just say that, you know, oh, by the way, there's never been a person from Merrill Lynch on American Greed.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a, oh, by the way, right? Not that we're going to ever wish that on our worst enemy, but he's never been. And I just saw that the other day, and Tim Duncan was part of that.
Oh, really?
You know,
Another basketball
and then, yeah, and then Merrill doesn't get, I mean, Wake Forest doesn't get his money because it's gone to some crook. And he goes 4 years in jail and goes out.
And they can probably start another IRA firm at some point.
Right.
If they're not SEC registered.
Right. So, sorry, I'm still in that camp about, you know, it's just stupid. It's like not having insurance on your jewelry or something. I mean, come on.
Right.
There's certain things you do, right? Certain things
right.
you don't do. So when you're doing estate planning, I mean, you guys have got to be really tough with these people. You know, there's a point where you become tough and say, we're not going to, it's kind of like when somebody overspends their money. Somebody that won't do estate planning, It's one of those things where you write a letter and have them sign it that said, that basically says, I'm accepting responsibility for the fact that I am choosing to not do what is being recommended.
Right. Yeah, I'm choosing to buy a car without seat belts and an airbag just because of
right.
I want to take that extra.
Exactly. Ride. Exactly. You know, it's just, I'm choosing to be stupid, and my financial advisor just wants me to acknowledge it. And it takes some courage to do that, but I think there's a point where you guys really need to step up and do that, you know, just so they don't come back to you later on and say, why didn't you push my dad to do this? You know, you had plenty of time to get him to sign these papers. And to buy the insurance or to, you know, do AD trusts or to do whatever was necessary. I mean, you didn't get them to do it. We're seeing you.
Yeah, hopefully we're picking off a lot of those. We met with quite a few of the families this year and really tightened up the estate plan, the wealth transfer. Done a lot of trustee IRAs. Engaged a lot of the family. Hopefully we're picking them off one by one.
Well, you know, we've had 10 years of a wonderful recovery and bull market, and a lot of people have gone well beyond their $10 million estate. And you think they don't really need estate planning because it's 10 or 11 million. But in reality, you know, putting the house in there and the rest of it, they're at 20, 25 million. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I think people are more and more so acknowledging now, though, not only what are my kids going to do with the money, but what is the money going to do to my kids? That's what I see with
the
clients. I really think about it.
I think that's fair. I mean, that's very valid. The kids are already established, they're hard workers, and they get it, you're fine. But if your kids are struggling and they've got mental problems and they've got drugs and alcohol issues, then you got a real, now you're talking. And it affects every family. Every family's got that something somewhere.
And normally it's not, you know, all kids are the same, you know, so that's a kid to consider too.
Yeah, and that's the hard part for parents in a lot of cases is the feeling of treating your children differently. When logic and rationality says it's the right thing to do, but emotion says it's a tough thing to do.
Well, some are very capable of taking care of themselves and managing money, and others are a mess. So it's just like clients. I mean, why do you think, I mean, you wouldn't consider two clients to ever be the same. So why would you consider children to ever be the same?
That's true.
Yeah. Even the line about also just going back to our calls of that you're fine doing this, but what about your wife or what about your husband who doesn't handle this? Well, you're okay having everything self-directed, but what about your spouse?
Right. Good. How's that working?
Dr. Larian. It's at least opening up some doors. That Seth in the bank last week had a guy who was just totally self-directed at edge, and when he asked that, the guy was willing to meet anyway and look at it. That's one more door opener, definitely.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, plan for when you die. You know?
Right, yeah. If you get him involved now, at least have a good handoff plan for later on.
Well, have him sign the papers and do the trust work in order to have it go to the trust company or something when he dies.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Charge him a fee for doing it. You know, charge him a financial planning fee for doing it. But get him set up. Here's your contingency. Here's your life insurance policy against you dying and having the thing just float into your wife's lap, and then she makes a series of, I mean, most accidents on airplanes do not occur because of the aircraft failure. It is the pilot error that occurs days before. It's a series of events that come together in an awkward way to create a catastrophe. And in most human beings' lives, the big disasters don't just casually occur. It's a series of small decisions that cumulatively create a disaster. And in this case, you can prevent that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too. I read an article about that. It may have been a similar about airplane accidents, of how it takes a series of 5 to 6 steps. And they had a... Specifically, they were studying Korea Airlines a few years ago because they had a rash of accidents, and they found that it was culturally they have a very hard time questioning the captain. They don't want to raise a tough question to their superior, and so they had to break that culture of being afraid to throw out an uncomfortable question. Or, "Captain, are you sure about this?"
Right.
The same thing with us with clients. So there's just the natural fear of, "Are you sure about this?"
Right.
When it's someone who's very successful, who's built up great wealth, and we've got to trust our instincts and ask those questions without fear.
So how is Tyler doing?
Tyler, are you on here?
I'm on here.
Tyler, how are you doing? How's your work?
I think we're doing all right. We've had some household traction and some new accounts coming in recently, and just trying to, you know, my big thing is trying to kind of fill the back end as they continue to come in, is not have an empty pipeline. And so over the past month or maybe a little bit more, I've actually been playing a lot more golf, which has been pretty good because it's easy to get people out on the golf course, and then I just kind of tie in signing the new account paperwork with that. And so that's gone pretty well. I've kind of started to formulate some good centers of influence from that, and some one person that sent me a few different clients already. And so just kind of continue to cultivate that. And so it's been really good, you know, just trying to kind of pick up as much as I can from Trent and Kim along the way and keep picking up the phone.
That's great. That's great. Are you playing, where are you playing most of your golf?
You know, I bounce around. I was down in Evansville this last weekend playing a member guest, and so I got to meet every business owner who's anybody down there. Tom Buck was down there, so I tried to avoid that situation as much as I could. But, yeah, I mean, I bounce around, so I don't belong.
He didn't go to jail, huh?
I guess not. Or they let him out for a weekend. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gone back to court yet.
Oh, really? I mean,
I don't think so.
Yeah. But, so, I don't know. I just tend to bounce around, and usually I'll have somebody either bring a friend to play with, and that's a great introduction, or I'll just, you know, we'll play as a twosome, and I'll ask the golf course to pair us up with somebody, and then I've automatically got, you know, someone that can endorse me playing with us already.
That's great. That's great. Does it make sense to join a club?
You know, maybe not yet. I tend to bounce around so much, you know, just between Evansville and a lot of clients live on the north side of town. I live on the south side of town, and I don't think quite yet. I could see where maybe it does down the line, but at this point,
yeah.
There's enough good public places around Indy that it's pretty easy to bounce around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just curious. That's great.
Yeah. What's your view on that, Rob, as far as club? What's a good level at which to join a club? Or a good time frame?
Well, it's all networking. You know, it's tribalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to become... I mean, people are attracted to people that are like themselves, and, you know, the town where you went to school, the town you live in, the club you belong to, your interests, etc. So the more you can help people to feel comfortable that you are not going to take their money and run off with it, the better, the easier it is to do business with you. You know, the more established you are, the easier it is to do business with you. So they want to know somebody like themselves. So being a member of a club is definitely, like any other niche, is a good way to do that. But you don't want to do it haphazardly. You want to become president of the club. Like in any other niche that you get into, any other charity or anything else, Trent, you can teach this.
Right.
I mean, you can't be sort of involved.
Right.
And so
yeah, it's an identity group, like you said, a tribe. It's finding. So yeah, for maybe a country club in some cases, but then for me it was Kiwanis, whatever that identity group we plug into, the nest that we can get into.
Now, the advantage of already being a talent and having skills that other people admire makes you a very attractive partner, but you don't want to get into the point where you're playing with the same group every week, and, you know, unless you're already established and it's just for fun.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is good. And playing in charity events, playing in outings, those are all great because you meet a lot of people and you're a celebrity to some degree because you're good at golf and you win and people want you and so forth. So I think you're doing fine. Just kind of keep in mind, think about it, you know.
Yeah. Well, and here's a question for you, Rob. I'm getting to the point where a lot of my friends and a lot of my connections are kind of making their way up, and some of them are starting to, you know, have a good career on tour, and some of them are kind of just starting to break through. How would you go about, you know, changing that from, you know, hey, we're good friends, we went to high school together, to, hey, I know that you've got a really successful career, you know, I want to be that professional for you as well. I feel like that's been the hard transition for me so far.
I think the only thing you do is raise the issue or tell stories about how you've been able to help people. And tell the Grant Hill story about, look, you know, this is not something you want to... Well, Kim, you had the story, right? Your friend came to you and asked you to help
Yes, and they were just in here last week, right. So he's just signed Major League Baseball, right. But, you know, they knew exactly what I did, and I think maybe that's like when... What I was just thinking when Tyler asked that question, and I thought immediately thought, when they ask how you're doing, you can say, oh, doing, you know what I mean, doing great. I just, you know, you can give them an example of maybe somebody you really helped solve, you know, a huge problem for, or, you mm-hmm. know, just to add credibility, you know, to it. To get them away from, you know, the golf story or the high school story to, you know, what you really are doing for a living and how you're providing, you know, great value and you know, to helping people solve problems. That's what came to my mind is, like initially when you said that.
Right. And I would adopt that story for you, Tyler, that this, you know, because of your partnership, this woman came to your team and this is how it evolved. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why did she choose you? She chose your team, you, because of this. She was comfortable. She had known Kim her whole life. She knew, and this is why, you know, this is the difference between us, you know, and I would make it clear that the Merrill Lynch thing does provide a high degree of security in terms of avoiding the disaster of fraud.
Yeah.
And never do business with an independent. You just can't afford the risk.
In my initial meeting, I also went over that. I said, you know, what if you choose me or not? Because I didn't know if they were going to or not. I said, you know, I gave them a couple items, like, just really consider, you know, that you need, you know, a large firm behind you, you know. So
right.
I put on the agenda, you know, even if you don't consider me or even if you decide not to, here's what you need to look for. And they were like, they thanked me for that, you know, being that open with it.
Yeah. And in this case, did you run a wealth outlook that showed him what kind of wealth he would have by age 25, 30?
Yeah, I did. Yes, exactly, I did. I did some projections out, you know, to show. And I did it again even when he came in this last time. I reiterated, you know, the power of compounding and, you know, starting with, you know, adding each year, you know, so much money, you know, to the accounts and that type of thing. So, and... reiterate because it's so important because he's 18 years old. I mean, if he puts money in the next 20 years, he'll be set, you know.
Well,
you know? Even if he's
right.
A teacher after being playing pro ball, you know, or whatever he wants to do. Yeah. And he's like, you know, you never know if you're going to make it or not either. And he knows that. So he's getting these huge bonuses now, you know, and this might be all he ever gets, you know, from that standpoint that's large.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a great story.
And then Robin, inside that, you know, like one of the guys I played with, he's a good friend of mine down in Evansville. He actually works with Mark Steinberg's agency.
Okay.
So, I mean, they work with Tiger Woods, Justin Rose, you name it.
Yep.
I mean, how would you go about just trying to get in front of them so that they're more aware with our practice? And, you know, that would be incredible if you could just get on their radar.
I would just meet them like I'd meet anybody else.
Okay.
Just ask for an introduction.
Yeah.
Ask your friend for an introduction to them and meet them and just say, you know, I'm in the business and would like to meet you and thought that it would make sense. You know, I may be able to refer business to you and possibly you could refer business to me.
Mm-hmm.
So now it would just make sense for us to know each other. I mean, these guys are professionals. They will want to meet you. They may not want to do business with you, but they'll want to meet you. They'll be gracious.
Got it. Okay. Easy enough.
Yeah.
I think helps us in a lot of ways. With him driving prospecting, I think it just holds us more accountable knowing that we're going to be meeting and discussing the prospects we've spoken of and providing an update. I think it keeps us on edge a little bit more to make sure that we follow up and make the calls. It raises a level of accountability on business growth, business development, prospecting for the whole team, for Tyler to be driving that. And he's helped us in a ton of ways, especially through this bulk transfer. He's been stepping into the gap quite a few times and helping out when we really needed some extra hand on deck. The value of the team.
Now, let me just ask you a question. The enthusiastically endorsed list, are you guys using that?
We've been building it. Yeah, we've been slowly adding. And let me get the latest copy of it here. So we amended it and took out a lot of the medical specialties and then added in some different type of HR people, some different consulting.
Why would you take out the medical?
Just wondering about our, can we actually refer? I've never had a case where anyone asked me for a heart surgeon or asked for a medical. All the clients I've had come to me have always already had their medical covered. So we left on there the concierge, like priority physicians. And there's another group out there that we're going to meet with.
Well, you take a person like me. Let's just use me as an example. I'm moving to Nashville, right? What's more important for me than to be introduced to the right medical team?
Yeah.
Can
you
think of something more important in my life than having everybody from a dentist to a oncologist to a everything else, right? I mean, my disease manifests itself in lots of little ways. Like, you know, I've got an ear infection now that won't go away, and so I'm going to need an eye, ear, and throat guy. So when I go there, if I could go to one person, they would give me the names of all the best people in town and could introduce me. That would be the most valuable thing I could have.
Yeah, it would be quite valuable. It's a matter of us figuring out how to actually build it, how to scale it and realistically build it within our practice.
Well, you do it by geography and you do it by introductions. David Bessard would be a perfect example of a guy that could do that pretty much for you completely.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And every single guy he'd introduce you to would be a possible client.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where we are with that. We're just currently building it out. I've had a few opportunities to utilize it, and primarily in accountants, CPAs. That's where people seem to be most open to it. And it's also the area in which it's hardest to find good accountants.
And attorneys, too. We've had a state plan. We get a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite a few of those sent out. And then we are finding out about more attorneys, and that's where our real traction, that's where our high level of engagement has been, is with the estate planning attorney.
That's great. I shared with you, I think, the last time, the idea of the thank you calls.
Yeah.
Right, on the anniversary.
Okay. Right. So did you put that to work and make any...
No, we haven't had a chance, Rob. And we wrote it down and we have it in our notes to do yet, but we haven't had a chance to implement.
Okay. So, Tyler, that would be a good one for you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, the few referrals I have gotten, I went ahead after that call and put them on my calendar, so I've got a mark,
good.
You know, for good. Late this year good. And next year to send some notes.
Yeah, just wanted to follow up just to get some feedback on that. No, that's good. No, I don't mean to jump on you, Trent, but I mean, when you get to be my age, you know, this stuff gets serious, you know.
Right.
We really want. And does it mean that you have the answer to everybody's problems? No, but you've got good feedback for them. These are the guys that are most enthusiastically endorsed. And you give three names. So you give three cardiologists, you give three oncologists, you give three, you know, higher notes and throat guys. And if you need an introduction, that's the most important, by the way. If you need an introduction, I can do that for you. And so you make friends with these guys, and then you actually can, when you refer somebody to them, they can get through. Half the time you can't get an appointment with these guys.
Yeah.
So you giving access to wealthy people, remember, that's what they want. They want experiences and they want access. And if you can give them access to a noted, I mean, we have some noted people in this community, I mean, that are world famous. And if you had the ability to introduce them and get them, these people in to see them, that would be very valuable. So I think it's a whole area of opportunity in any community.
Yeah, and it just points back, I guess, to the team. You just have to add capacity. You have the ability to do that. We just realistically at this point haven't had the capacity to do that at the time or the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're starting with the accounts, the attorneys, starting with the ones that we know of offhand, and then we'll build that up over time.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. Well, guys, terrific. I've got to run, and you do too.
Thanks,
but thank
Bob.
You.
I appreciate it.
Always good to catch up. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thanks, and it's good to see you, and look forward to seeing you in person. Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
See you, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Bye-bye.